The Heart of the Ritz, written by Luke Devenish and read by Jennifer Valetic. Polly's first suspicion that something was wrong came when she returned from the lavvy. The door to the first-class compartment now wouldn't open to let her inside again. She stood in the corridor, confused with the French Riviera rushing past the train windows while she rattled the door.
"Aunt Marjorie, have you locked this? Is that you?"
Her aunt's voice from within sounded anxious, on edge, a different Aunt Marjorie from the one Polly had left minutes before.
"I'm back from the loo. Do let me in again."
Polly thought she heard the compartment window being hauled open.
"Just a minute, dear,"
called her aunt. Polly looked up and down the empty passage as if someone might come along with an explanation.
"What are you doing in there?"
"Nothing. I won't be a moment."
Yet Marjorie was doing something because the door stayed closed. Polly took a step back as if contemplating taking a running kick at it.
"Is there someone in there with you?"
"Don't be silly, of course there isn't,"
Marjorie assured her. Yet she still sounded stressed.
"Then let me back in. I feel silly out here."
Polly heard the window fall shut again with a thud. Then her aunt opened the compartment door, flushed in the face and wiping dust from her eye, but otherwise smiling as if nothing was amiss. Her Marcel-waved hair had come loose from its pins.
"What on earth were you doing?"
Polly asked, astonished, coming inside.
"Sniffing the sea breeze? Your hair looks like a chimney brush, Auntie."
She laughed, resuming her seat on the banquette opposite Marjorie's, and picked up one of her aunt's fashion magazines.
"What's the fuss? Can't I open a window if I want to?"
Marjorie objected, adjusting her silk day dress where it had bunched. She patted at her hair.
"I was hot, and then I wasn't. So I shut it again."
This disingenuousness rang false. Polly frowned at her.
"Polly,"
said Marjorie evenly before her niece could say it,
"nothing is wrong. We're on our way to a lovely long stay in Nice, and I know you'll adore it."
Yet she locked the compartment door again firmly. Then she poured herself some chilled champagne from a bottle she had clearly ordered and opened while Polly had been gone. Polly blinked, finding this indulgence theatrical.
"But why do you want us shut in here so suddenly? You didn't before."
Marjorie seemed on the verge of forming a particular reply before thinking the better of it. She sipped her champagne. Polly tried again.
"Did someone come in here and upset you?"
Marjorie shifted in her seat.
"Why in heaven would anyone come in without an invitation?"
She fiddled with her green Hermes handbag, slipping her fingers inside. Polly felt herself at a loss. This was only her second day in the company of her beloved aunt, the aunt who had hitherto only existed in cherished letters sent from exotic locales to Polly's decidedly unexotic locale in Sydney, Australia, where she had lived her whole life until Marjorie had sent money for her passage to France. With every hour in Aunt Marjorie's presence, Polly was becoming more aware that the aunt she had thought she knew well from her letters didn't quite match the woman of reality. She was funny and glamorous, certainly, just as she had always seemed in her letters. But she was also harried and secretive, as if Polly's arrival from Australia was inopportune, even though it had been Marjorie who'd arranged the journey when Polly's father had died.